I've got a question for you this morning. How many of you have friends in this church who love you enough to face you, to rebuke you when you're wrong, but encourage and support you when you're down or when you're doing well? Let's take a minute to ponder. If you made a mistake, done something wrong, a brother or sister from this church comes to you and says, "Look, this is not right, this is wrong. What you're doing is wrong." How many of you had that experience, and how many of you will do that to another person, another believer in this church? Unless you have a deep and honest relationship with a person in Christ, chances are it would be very slim. We often find it easy to encourage and difficult to rebuke. "Oh, you have done well. Oh, you have done well. Good, good on you." But when the person does something wrong, we do not rebuke. We do not talk. We do not work with the person so they will be aware of the wrong that they have done. Or we find it easy to rebuke and difficult to encourage. Most probably because we don't like that person. We don't like their face. We don't like who they are. So it's easy to rebuke them. But if they make a small mistake, we rebuke them. We can face them and rebuke them. But if they do something right, good, we find it difficult to encourage them. In Romans 15, Paul does not seem to have that dilemma. He encourages the believers. He supports them. He rejoices with them. But he also warns them as a person, as a minister called by God. Romans 15:15, Paul says that you have all the goodness, you're competent, but there are some reminders I want to share with you because of my duty as a Christian to the grace of God. Before we discuss the reminders, let's take a minute to look at Paul himself first. This is the person who has written this book of Romans. Let's look at Paul's character first. First, we see Paul is an honest person. He's truthful and is aware of his call, authority, and his desire to serve the Lord. He says he's not going to make up stories to make himself look good, not to say the untruth. He's not proclaiming himself to be to have a better understanding than all the believers, because he's a Pharisee, because he knows the scriptures, because he has studied so much about the Hebrew scriptures. He doesn't claim that authority. He says he's not because of what God has done in him, the revelation, the miracles and signs, that does not give him the authority. But he says the authority comes from the calling and the revelation that Jesus Christ had given him. Not because of what he had done, but because what Christ had done in him. And that's the theme of Romans, isn't it? Justification by faith. Not what we have done, but what Christ has done for us. Paul is honest and truthful about his call and the work of Christ in his life, because his authority comes from God. Paul wants to avoid divisions. He doesn't end dissensions. He wants to preach the gospel. He wants to speak about the gospel. His ambition, his desire to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want to go and do work in another man's land. He doesn't want to steal sheep. He doesn't want to convert the believers. He wants to preach the gospel to those who have not heard Jesus Christ, or the, about Jesus Christ. Therefore, connect to 9. To preach where the gospel has not been preached. Not to go to another man's church and take away his sheep or his congregation, but to pray and to evangelize to those who do not know Jesus Christ. In verse 18 he says, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God, what I've said and done. He said, I'm not going to say anything about myself. I'm not being proud of what I've achieved except Jesus Christ. By the power and signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit, he says, I am preaching the gospel. I fully proclaim the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was known, so that I will not be building on someone else's foundation. Very honest, open, truthful man. The other character of Paul that I see is vulnerability and humility. Paul invites us to be his prayer partners, to share in his struggles. The Living Bible says, can you all be my prayer partners? Can you share? Can you be my prayer partners? And there's a question mark there. And in NIV says, in 15:30, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. He shows great vulnerability. Though God has wrought many miracles, though he has raised the dead through the power of Christ. In the book of Acts, we see many miracles of Paul's that he has done through the power of Christ. The revelation that God has given him, taking up to heaven. Jesus appearing to him. So many revelations, so many signs, so many miracles. But he says here, brothers, please join in my struggle by praying to God for me. Because of this revelation, I'm not different from you. I'm not greater than you. I'm still struggling. I have my moments of weaknesses. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my services to God, my services to Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there. Pray for all this. A show of vulnerability, a show of humility. Pray, he says. Pray for me. Therefore, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. He prayed. Honesty, truthfulness, vulnerability, and humility to accept limitations. In this context, we see Paul, in the context of this passage, love, honesty, humility, vulnerability, truthfulness, and the Lordship of Jesus Christ are essential ingredients for a good Christian relationship. And we are called to build and to have that relationship to one another, because you've been chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ to serve him. Then comes the reminders in Romans 16. He says, I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of other people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I'm full of joy over you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. He rejoices over the believers, their faithfulness, their goodness. He encourages them. Yet, he reminds them and warns them. Because of that honest, truthful relationship he has with the believers. Firstly, he says, watch out for people who cause divisions and put obstacles contrary to the teaching of the gospel. Many a times people have asked me, you all talk about the love of God, the unity in Jesus Christ, but why are you all so divided? I'm sure many of you would have heard that question. Why are you Christians divided? Everyone says this is the way, that is the way, this, our church is better than yours. And this is exactly what Paul was saying. Watch out for people. Division just don't come. People cause them. People poison other people's mind and cause divisions. And put obstacles contrary to the teaching of the scripture. And he says, keep away from them. Because they do not care for you. They do not love you. They do not want you to grow. They will not rebuke you. But they will flatter you. They will smooth talk. They will deceive you if you are naive. He says, be wise about what is good and innocent about evil. How many times we have been deceived? How many times during this, maybe the last 10 years, we have heard of new gospels coming out, new revelations, the Da Vinci Code, the secret gospels of Jesus, the gospel of this, gospel of that, gospel of Barnabas, gospel of Judas now, the secret tomb of Jesus. How many times you have heard deception? And this, that's the final point that Paul makes. There is no secret or hidden revelation anymore because the prophetic revelation, the hidden secret, is in Christ and has been revealed. The end of every revelation is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ ends every prophetic writings in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is the key to all revelation. There's no more secret revelation. There's no more hidden revelation, hidden knowledge. There's no more gnosis. Paul says nothing is hidden. The Word has been revealed. You read the Word, you pray, you walk with Christ, and you will grow. I plucked some ads from some Christians from the internet. And these are some of the proclamation that they make about hidden knowledge or some secrets they've have got from I don't know where. The first one is the secret of financial prosperity. You do this, they say they will unlock your, they give you a key to unlock your financial prosperity. You will learn the secret of how to be financially prosperous. I think we need maybe a million of them now because of the economic downturn. And then there's another one. They're unlocking the secret of the book of Revelation. And it says here, 5 main keys to unlock the meaning of Revelation. Set yourself free from unscriptural fear of the end times, it says. And then you have to pay some money because he got some secret that he wants to share with you. I like this one. This is the best. Breaking the spirit of death. Special offer. Best-selling author, pastor, and broadcaster so-and-so brings faith and wealth-building lessons as he shares the keys to unlocking the power of financial freedom. By biblical financial freedom, he says. For your $100 debt-busting seed gift, receive Breaking the Spirit of Debt book and CD and the booklet, 7 Debt-Busting Secrets. So if you give $100, you'll get all this. You'll be out of debt. You'll be in debt. These are some of the things that people share. Flattery, deception, smooth talk. And when you hear the secret, people want to know more. People want the secret to be unlocked. They want to be better. No secret except Jesus Christ. The final revelation is Christ. And then one more. This one is the leadership secrets of Jesus. 58 key wisdom keys then unleash the greatest miracle you've experienced. It's not the birth of Christ. There's another miracle that you can experience. It's not your salvation, the greatest miracle. But this guy says, 58 wisdom keys to unleash the greatest miracle you experience. They use the name of Christ. They claim to use the biblical principles. But smooth talking and flattery, the people that Paul warned us about. In a nutshell, let's contrast this 15 and 16 and look at the examples of Paul and what he warns us against. He says, don't cause division. A Christian doesn't cause division. Don't put obstacles. A Christian will not lead you astray. Don't deceive others. Don't serve yourself. Rejoice and be happy about others. Rejoice because of what they have achieved. Don't be dishonest in your words and deeds. Don't be evil. All revelations end in Christ. Paul lived that life as he thought. He saw what Christ has done. He followed the example of Christ. He didn't cause division. In chapter 15, read it again. Go home and have a look at it again. He didn't put obstacles. He didn't deceive others. He was vulnerable. He was humble. He was truthful. But those who are opposed to the gospel, who are deceivers, will do the exact opposite, as he shared in chapter 16. The point is, Paul is saying, I'm not talking, I'm doing. Look at me, follow me. It can be done. Because of what Christ has done in my life. Don't do this. Because this is not what a Christian should live and be. All of us are called to love one another. Rebuke one another in love, if necessary. Encourage one another. Love one another. Struggle with one another. Be vulnerable. Accept our limitations. And grow together as people of God. The church is for broken people. The church is for you to grow. The church is for you to feel love. I'll end this message with a verse from Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 13. I think this says what Paul says in a nutshell. He says, love must be sincere. If you all have the Word of God with you, the Bible with you, you can open to Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 13. We can have a look at it together. If you just want to listen, that's fine too. No worries. He says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Cling. Have you seen cling wrap? How it clings to food. That's why he says, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. I think that says everything about Paul and his life. And how our life should be as Christians. You might have been hurt by people. People who have been hurt often withdraw, often shut the doors of their heart. They do not want to be vulnerable anymore. They are afraid to love again. They are afraid to develop friendships and relationships because they've been hurt. But remember this, Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane was hurt so badly that he cried alone. The Bible says all have forsaken him and fled. But when he came back, he did not curse them. He did not shut himself out. But rather, he continued to love them. Continued to share himself. Look at Paul. He says, Demas have loved the present world, have forsaken me. But yet, he shares his struggles and his life and his vulnerability because he wants to be an example to the believers as Jesus Christ was to him. And that's how our church should be, growing together, rebuking one another in love, not with hatred, not with anger, but in love, because you want the person to grow. And I encourage you today to open your hearts. As Christmas comes next week, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Also remember your own birth, your new birth in Jesus Christ. And also remember the examples of Jesus Christ. We celebrate as a family. I like what Bruce wrote. He said, to our family in All Saints, Waitara. I think it sums it up very well. This is a family. There's acceptance and love. And I encourage you to grow in that. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks. Teach us to accept our limitation and our vulnerability. Teach us to be aware of our struggles. But also teach us to open our hearts, to ask for help, to seek help, to be genuine in our relationship with our dear brothers and sisters in this church, to be honest and to be truthful, to be humble, O Lord. This is what you seek from us, to walk humbly with you, Lord, and to love one another. Oh, the expressions of Paul in 16, 15 and 16, oh, so beautiful. It is so beautiful, O Lord. It's so wonderful to just to sense and feel how much love Paul had for the believers, this desire for them. Oh, Lord, I pray that we can also follow that example because of not what we have done, but because of justification through what you have done for us on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.